So this week's Bible reading is about the faith of Abraham and Sarah. And it describes faith as, right at the beginning, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In my life, in studying and reading and hearing other people talk, I've heard faith described in a few ways too, like believing without seeing. That's that whole thing with Thomas, right? Or the belief or trust that something is true. That's really faith, the belief or trust that something is true. Or here's a good one from Martin Luther King Jr. Great quote. He described faith as this: taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. And too often, maybe all the time, no, at least too often, I have doubts that are bigger than what I believe. At least it feels that way. So big question about faith is, do doubts negate faith? Let's look at some Bible passages about where faith comes from. Okay? Galatians. It's mostly from Paul. It's all from Paul, or at least mostly from Paul, and then one book that may or may not be Paul that Bible scholars like to debate about. But Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these there is no such law." And then 1 Corinthians 13, 2, it's the love chapter that's read at so many weddings. "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing." 1 Corinthians 13 at the end, "And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love." And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." Or the same verse in Ephesians 2:8 in a different translation: "God saved you through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God." Now people who study the Bible a lot, Bible scholars, Bible smarty pants, if you want to call them, they're not of one mind on the question of where faith comes from. Let me simply tell you that I think that from these verses, viewed from the lens of the big picture of the Bible, remember I call the meta-narrative, that huge, what's the Bible all about? Do you remember what the Bible is all about? God creates, we mess up, God creates, forgives, or God redeems, and then God. So viewed through that lens, and we really have to look through the Bible through that lens, viewed through that lens and what these words say, I think that faith comes from God. It's not what we do. Well, it is what we do, but the ability to have faith, I don't know. See, grace is a gift of God. And hope is a gift of God. And love is a gift of God. And joy and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, gentleness, and self-control are all gifts from God. Faith is a gift from God, a gift of God. And each of the gifts have an element of receiving them and then also giving them. So there is a you have it and you do it kind of a thing, because we receive grace and then we act with grace, right? I mean, that's our calling. We don't get anything for it, but it's what we're supposed to do. We receive grace. We act with grace. We receive hope. We offer or act with hope. We receive love, or we offer and act with love. We receive joy and peace and kindness and generosity and gentleness and self-control. And we offer or act with joy and patience and peace and kindness, generosity and self-control. They're gifts that are given by God. Whether we ever put them into action, they're given to us. We have them. Does that make sense? I know that we live kind of as verbs, we do stuff, but we have the faith. And so, by faith, given to us as a gift from God, we act in faith. Right? So we've got it, and then we use it. We have it. We do it. We've got it. we use it. That sounds like a cheer, right? But I'm not going to make a cheer out of it. We can't negate it. That's really the point. We can't negate faith that God has given to us because it's from God. And God doesn't negate it. We have it. And when we doubt, faith cannot be negated. It just can't be. It doesn't happen that way. Let me take it a step further. I live my life with a lot of phrases going through my head, but this is one of them that goes through my head all the time, and I trust this. Doubt is necessary for us to exercise our faith. What do you think? Necessary, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think that doubt and faith must exist together. The very reason that if we didn't doubt, there would be no reason to exercise faith. Listen to these thoughts. Faith without doubt isn't faith at all. It's certainty. Right? So if you're certain about something, there's no need for faith. And I think Anne Lamott said that, and other people have probably said it too, but Anne Lamott said it at one point or another. Or how about this? Faith without doubt isn't faith at all. It's indifference. If you don't care, there's no reason to believe either. And that's Elie Wiesel, the writer of, I can't remember the book now. Really powerful story in there about the people in a concentration camp. And is it dark night? It's night. Maybe it's called just night. People in a concentration camp, they put God on trial for, essentially causing all of this trouble and turning a blind eye when everything bad was happening. So all of these Jewish people put God on trial and found him guilty of not caring, of being a part of this whole badness that they were experiencing. And then after they found him guilty, they said their prayers and went to bed. It's not a faith and doubt thing, but they were still committed to God even in the midst of being so angry at God. Can you be angry at God? Sure. Are you angry at God today? Maybe. If you know for sure, there's no need for faith. If you don't care, there's no need for faith. And when you doubt, it's faith that keeps you seeking. I love the words. Here's the poet Khalil Gibran. He says, "Doubt is a pain too lonely to know that faith is his twin brother." Wow. Doubt and faith, twin brothers. In the United Church of Christ, there's probably a lot of twin brothers and twin sisters, but in the United Church of Christ related to faith, we have a statement of our faith. Something that's, y'all who joined today, you open up your thing and it has the United Church of Christ statement of faith. If you open up your hymn books, I think you can open it up right to the first page, right? Isn't the United Church of Christ statement of faith right there? Or maybe it's in the back? There, it's on the back. You can look there. It's not a litmus test of you have to believe this stuff to be a member, or you have to follow this stuff for God to love you, or to be a Christian, or whatever it is that you think or that people have thought over the years. It's not a litmus test. It's a testimony of people, their statement of faith over the years. But I want to share it with you. You can follow along the parts there, but I'm going to add some doubt statements to it. Like I said, faith, or like Khalil Gibran said, faith and doubt are twin brothers, and I said that doubt is necessary for us to exercise our faith. So here's the United Church of Christ statement of faith with some doubt statements. I heard someone, now I can't remember her name, but in 2007 at General Synod of the United Church of Christ, did something similar, and I couldn't remember a word of what she said, but I remembered the flavor of it, that it had doubt statements related to the UCC statement of faith. And so that's where the inspiration for that came from. Alyssa Yonkman, I think that's her name, but I've never met her before. So, but here's the version that I came up with. "I often wonder if you even exist. I wonder why you let such awful things happen in the world. I wonder if you even care. But I believe in you, O God, eternal Spirit, God of our Savior Jesus Christ and our God, and to your deeds I testify. Scientists and religious folk argue too much about things like creation and evolution. I wish you could simply tell everyone that the Bible isn't a science book and that you made us as a people who can think and discover and even create, because you call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image, and set before each one the ways of life and death. I make mistakes all the time. Everyone I know makes mistakes all of the time. Why would you let that happen? Do you really seek in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin? I try not to look down on people who do things differently than I do, who hold different opinions than I do. But sometimes people act so awful. It's hard to trust that you judge people and nations by your righteous will declared through prophets and apostles. Do you really know what it's like for us here? Can you feel pain? Have you experienced failure? Have you ever been completely devastated? In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Savior, you have come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death and reconciling the world to yourself. I wish I knew that you were really near all the time. I wish I knew that you were always doing the things I say that you do, redeeming us as we continually mess up. You bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. Couldn't you just do it all? Couldn't you just fix everything? Why don't you? You call us into your church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be your servants in the service of others, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and to resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and to eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. I don't know if I have the faith, the strength, the persistence, or even the love to follow you. You promise to all who trust you forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, your presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in your realm which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto you. Amen.